Good evening, truckers everywhere. By George, it's Earth Day, and I am your host, Dick Chafing.
What on earth? It's St. George's Day, and I'm Wilma Fingerdoo.
It's also Shakespeare's birthday, and on behalf of Alvin, I say, cry dog for Harry Balzac and St. George.
Lou called me his dragon, but he's gone to Earth this week, leaving me Norma Snuckers. Alas, I am one who loved not wisely, but too well.
We've heard a rumour that an updated version of Hollow Cecil will be available soon, maybe as soon as tomorrow. So, throughout the programme, I and my fellow presenters will be testing out some of the cocktails that Hollow Cecil can help you to make, if he's installed in your cockpit. I'm going to start with a slurp of something called a caustic dribble. So if I press the wrong buttons, at least I'll have an excuse this week. But for now, on with the news.
Got no range.
It's all right, we got this.
Right, no party like a cyborg party.
Wizard visits Hutton with a warning.
The heat is on for one willful pilot.
With great power comes great power cuts.
Sticky seats, overpriced snacks, the problems of home cinema.
Taking photos for the blind.
Lou sent over some kind of used napkin with his BGS update on it.
And Norma seems to have Flossie's bit between her teeth. It was time to party like it's Wool 359 this week, as the system celebrated a public holiday by declaring it to be Borg Appreciation Day. Truckers embraced the festivities dressed as shambling cyborgs, threatening to assimilate the buffet and, of course, telling their belt buckles that resistance is futile, though a couple of geeks were seen saying that to superconductors as they lowered their shields and prepared to surrender their hips. There was a Dress Your Infant as Jean-Luc Picard competition, with the top prize going to the cutest baby, and the whole day was rounded off with an exhibition of cube dancing in 7/9 time. The only sour notes in an otherwise magic carpet of a day were the only sour notes in an otherwise magic carpet of a day were when one individual was tempted to add their biological distinctiveness to someone else's for all of 0.68 seconds, and an ill-placed ocular implant which nearly had someone's eye out.
There are some who call him Tim. Hutton had a visit this week from a mysterious figure, the so-called Tim the Enchanting. He'd left the safety of his usual abode in the caves of Kyrbanog to bring his staff of one, see how we did things at the Orbital. Still traumatised by Buck's appearance at VECM, he'd followed rumours of an assassin from Van Manen Star who was hiding in our corridors, the so-called Killer Abbot, who had nasty big pointy teeth. He said that he knew he was at the right place because of the grail-shaped beacon that had drawn his attention and the foul stench of hell once he disembarked. Unfortunately, we had to disabuse him. The beacon was in fact Cymoof's non-incendiary light that he needed to use in the fetid space where he houses his collection of rare farts. And the stench? Well, Cymoof again, but all his own work this time. Despite our attempts to show Tim our choir, who were all wearing identical eyewear, he disappeared rather rapidly, so we were unable to show him the choral specs. Bollocks.
During the recent holo test by the Pilots Federation, Commander Scotty NR showed the cruel side of his nature. To quote the birthday boy, "As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods. They kill us with their sport." Wanting a quick return from Salome's reach, this latter-day sadistical Marquis de Bernard decided to forego the usual methods of a quick death, namely by initiating self-destruct, or by turning off the shields and diving headfirst at a high-G planet, or by letting Cecil take over the cockpit and asking him to be very, very careful. Instead, Scotty NR decided to do the space equivalent of focusing a star's rays through a magnifying glass and watching what happened to the ants below. He calmly landed his anaconda on a nearby planet, closed the vents to initiate silent running, and stood back as he and a few friends, we think we heard Buck Naked's voice in there somewhere, watched as the ship slowly, ever so slowly, piece by piece, started to show signs of distress. At first there was no visible sign of the maelstrom that was growing in the belly of the beast, just a sense of unease from the witnesses. As they felt just a little embarrassed to be taking an unfeeling part of the unfolding spectacle. Voices became hushed as almost imperceivably on the surface of the ship there were just a few small gouts of flame, such as you might see when Moose demonstrating how he can use his own internal gas supply for a Turkish barbering technique on his own arse hair. Just little petamines that greatly caress different parts of the huge ship. After a while, these seemingly inconsequential fireworks subsided, and all was calm. For a short while, strange noises were heard, as if internal bulkheads were collapsing and pressures re-equalizing on the stricken vessel. Then once more, all was quiet. But not for long. A succession of flickering lights were seen on the underbelly of the behemoth, and within seconds, it was finally all over. Hot 964 had made the ultimate sacrifice just to give one commander an easy ride home. We at Hutton Orbital do not condone this kind of snuff movie, even if it was made during a holo test. It's a small step from this to Shouty demanding we broadcast his poetry.
If you have been affected by any of the issues in this news article, please contact the one charity that works tirelessly to stop this kind of cruelty, and perhaps consider sending them some credits. Contact the Society for Protecting Under-Resourced Modules. Yes, if you'd like to be a sperm donor, please place your donation in the bucket. Really? All that for that? That... oh, God.
We're worried about power. Not the sort of power that you show people in the galaxy map when they ask, "So what is the bubble?" Or the sort that is apparently symbolised by a large, uncomfortable-looking metal chair and apparently can only be worn after several women have stood around in drafty castles without any clothes on. No, after descending into infrastructure failure for a second time, Hutton Power Limited has been forced to issue a statement blaming unusual usage, as pilots are staying in their quarters, no longer roaming the galaxy delivering mugs. They say about this, combined with a dodgy batch of power converters, has put a strain on their ability to produce power. Their spokesman did give us a statement, but there's a lot of interference. All we could make out was that some girl called Jenny is to blame.
In an attempt to cheer up pilots who are full of NUI after the completion of Operation Hot Mess, the Pilots Federation have started to host movie nights, We suggest that a 2010 action movie starring Angelina Jolie as a CIA agent who goes on the run after a defector accuses her of being a Russian spy. But apparently there was something about the name of the title character that they didn't like. In the end, they went for something suitable for a drive-in, Jurassic Car Park, where bioengineered lizards feed on California Gateway, or as they call it, Hollywood, residents as movie night goes real D. The dastardly Don demonstrating deadly dinosaurs dining during devourment. Oh no, denouement. Denouement? Real D, as we sure you are all aware, is the current level of realism for movies. There was 3D that increased realism and made you duck, but needed special glasses that made the audience look like a before picture in an advert for Specsavers. Then there was 4D, which was exactly the same except that your chair vibrated like dead meat had let one off of his monster bottom burps, or someone threw a bucket of water at your face. Since then, there's been moving chairs, cinemas built on fault lines to get a truly realistic rumble, whole-body haptic feedback suits for specialist entertainment. For obvious reasons, these suits had to be purchased. No rentals available. All of this has culminated in Real D. You do not require any special glasses or equipment. The character is modeled to look exactly like you. And if in the movie the character loses a limb or gets eaten, then you receive the same exact experience. For those of you who are asking what's the difference between real life and Real D, it's simple. The snacks are cheaper.
Some may argue that it's the second best liquid that you can put in your Hutton mug if you're out of Centauri Megagin. But whatever. Unquestionably, Hutton takes the tea. Teabagging, tea time, or in the case of the healthier truckers, PT. Mr. T, I ain't getting on no beluga. For the hippies, we have Tea Tree. There are T9, T7, T10, and the T6. But this as an entirely different cup of tea. It's a charity. It has all gone to the dogs. But this time, dogs of a different stripe. Or rather, harness. The guide dogs. On Tuesday of this week, led by Dayglo Viking, myriad people throughout the galaxy took selfies with a mug of tea. Well, they say it's tea, but how can you tell in a picture? To take part in the Great Guide Dogs virtual tea party, and attempted to break the Guinness Galaxy record for the number of simultaneous participants whilst raising money for the Guide Dogs for the Blind Association. Whilst our own fluffy leader is, of course, a hearing dog, he is nonetheless very supportive of any charity that helps others and has given this his paw print of approval. Apparently, it's taking a while to verify the record attempt, since the organisers need to see everyone's faces to assure that there's no cheating. And we're worried that pilots may have forgotten to remove their PPE. That's pilots' pulchritude enhancers. We'll bring you news as we get it.
Hutton's space is very simple at the moment, which is probably down to most of the galaxy spending the last 2 weeks cramming themselves into cardboard spaceships and then complaining when the copy deck seems to give way. Now, I'm going to give this introduction in two ways. The simple one that everyone with an IQ in double figures can understand. And then again in a step-by-step version because none of you truckers ever listen, let alone think. Leave everything alone that isn't below 40%. And if it is, give it a little, and I mean a little, boost. That's version one. Version two. Hill Pass C is too low. Do good things for Hutton. Do bad things to Hill Pass C liberals. Sign 2051 and LHS 340 are too low. These are little systems. Do a little bit of good things for Hutton. You don't need to be mean to anyone in those. For the three systems mentioned, when they get to 50%, stop. Immediately. Do not pass go. Do not collect 100 mugs. Finally, leave every other system alone. Do not touch anything. Pretend that they have mods, but that they're AEDC systems and We don't want to help them. Seriously, leave them alone. Okay, you got that? Right. King Spanky has sent the following over from Colonia. Hand in bounties at Eel Proco Centurion tier. Missions and passenger missions in Eel Proco Centurion tier. Buy low, sell high in Eel Proco Centurion tier. Exploration data can be cashed in Eel Proco Centurion tier. Make sure you're at Dollar Depot. His special instructions are to make tier great again. I mean, make tier go over 20% by doing the right stuff, whatever that is. I thought it was a clumsy madrigal about teenage shagging. Not sure how that will help. Anyway, over to Norma.
Normally, this item would be something that would be talked about later in the show, but for reasons that will become apparent, assuming you're paying attention, I am going to make this announcement here, amongst the regular hosts, instead of Flossie telling you in her St. Jean news. Led by Commander Thin Rain, Baz's Big Bubble Banter Bus is leaving on a trip this coming Sunday, the 26th of April. He'll be touring notable locations around the bubble and is inviting commanders to join him for daily shenanigans every day from 9 p.m. UK time, that's 8 p.m. UTC, for 26 consecutive days. Challenges will include: how many different ship types can we get into one selfie? Can we outnumber the pirates at the rest site? And of course, potentially, attempting to land on the 5G world without going oops. Every evening from 9 p.m, join Baz in the Banter Bus channel on Hutton's TeamSpeak. Get into the Hutton private group and listen out for the cry of all aboard. Multi-crew, wing, or just being in the same instance will be available. Currently, this event does not include hotbox pilots, but if any hotbox commander would like to organise a simultaneous parallel event, please let Commander Thin Rain know. Commander Thin Rain's representative, Baz Floyd, will be along after the news to bring us more detail and to answer questions.